This morning is found in Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through verse 15. Galatians 5, verses 1 through 15. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, I just thank you for this day. Lord, I ask you to just bless us, keep us. Lord, I ask that you to be with us in this time. Lord, I ask that you just touch each and every one of us. God, that you speak, that you bless. Lord, that you encourage us. Lord, that you speak to us where we are. Lord, that you strengthen us, that you renew us. Lord, that you bless each and every one of us where we are. Lord, that you would just touch each and every one of us where we're at. And God, that you would just touch each of us where we're at. God, that you would just strengthen us. God, if any distraction, anything that's would just pull us away, God, anything that would pull our hearts, our minds, God, that you would take it away, God, and that you would just speak to us this morning, that you would strengthen us, that you would move over us, God, that you would just touch each and every one of us now, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Galatians 5, chapter, verse 1. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. And I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. You have been severed from Christ. You who are seeking to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith through working through love. You are running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion did not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough. I have confidence in you and the Lord that you will adopt no other view. But the one who is disturbing you will bear his judgment, whoever he is. But I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? Then the stumbling block of the cross has been abolished. I wish that those who are troubling you would even mutilate themselves, for you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, for through love serve one another, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love yourself as your neighbor. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. So Paul's been making, I think Galatians is a unique book, because Paul makes, he's been making this really prolonged, long argument. And really that the arguments, this argument and that is the Galatians were free for a purpose. And we'll really get to that. But do you like an argument? Or do you like a good argument? You like a good argument? Maybe some of you do. Maybe some of you don't like to argue. You know, some people, they just love to argue. Then there's other people, when they argue, they like to use truth. They're going to just hit you with fact. And just, you know, fact after fact after fact. And they're just, they're good at pulling out facts and different truths and different statistics and things of that nature. Other people, they're going to pull out very emo they're going to be very emotional, and they're going to pull out be very emotive when they argue. Okay. Some people, they just want to win the argument. They're going to win. They want to win that argument at all costs, and they don't care how they use it. Okay, how they'll use whatever they have. They're going to win it all. You know that person, they want to win the argument at all costs. Okay, doesn't matter how they win the argument. They just want to win the argument at all costs. There's people that will do that. But very rarely do people want to convince you with truth because they love you and want the best for you. Very rarely do you ever see those type of people. Normally, they just want to win the argument. Or really what they do, they just like to, you have some people, they just like to argue. They're just arguing for the sake of, because they like to argue. They're not arguing because they necessarily want to convince you. They just like to argue. They just enjoy the point of arguing. They should have joined the debate club, there's like an adult debate club that they should join. You know, it's just like they don't even believe what they're arguing. They just like they're playing devil's advocate just because they want to argue, or they just want to convince you of that point. They don't even, you know, it's not because they really so passionately care about you and they love you that and they think it's the best thing. They just want to convince you of their point. Rarely do people so deeply and passionately care about you that they're going to give you the facts and give them. And that's what Paul's doing. He's so deeply and passionately cares about the Galatians that he is giving them the facts. And that's what he's been having this prolonged argument here with this Galatians. And it really brings us to the first point here this morning, that we are free in Christ. Verse 1, he says, it is for freedom that Christ set us free. We are free in Christ. Okay. And it's interesting. We read over in Romans that we are free in Christ, but really in the opposite is that in our pre-Christ state that we were slaves of sin. Okay. And Paul says, you know, elsewhere even that do not use our freedom to you know, later on he tells the Galatians, do not use your freedom in the flesh, or do not use your freedom to abuse, right? But here he tells them, do not give up your freedom. Verses really 1 through 4. He says, keep standing firm. Do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. Don't return, okay? Don't return to that you know, to the law. But really for us, don't return to that old life, okay? Yeah, he's telling the Galatians, don't go back to circumcision. It's no benefit. Don't go back to your old life. It was no benefit to you. So why return? He's been having this prolonged argument. He's telling them, don't do that. Again, don't go back to your old life. What benefit was it towards you? Because why did you left it for a purpose? Why would you go back? There was no benefit. If you left it, why would you go back? No purpose for you to return to it. There was a lot of pain. There was a lot of frustration. There was a lot of hurt. There was a lot of sleepless night. There was a lot of sorrow. There was a lot of pain. Why would you return to it and relive that or re-enter that? Okay. And so he's asking the Galatians, okay? And I think Paul today would ask you, why would you want to re-enter that? Because if you did, you're re-entering you're re-entering to slavery. Why would you want to re-enter that? Verse 3 says, I testify again. Any man who receives circumcision, he's under obligation to keep the whole law. The point was they couldn't keep the law. So why would you want to try to receive circumcision? Because you can't keep the law. So if you try to take a portion of law, you can't keep it. And so don't do what he's saying. Not only that, but he says it severs you from Christ and you've fallen from grace. So don't do this. And so when we go back to these old life, it severs us from Christ. And that is that, I know like elsewhere in scripture says nothing can separate us from the love of God. But guess what? When we go back to the life, it doesn't sever us completely from the love of God, but then it blocks us, and we start missing, we start blocking ourselves from the love of God, and we're blocking that relationship with Jesus, and all of a sudden, that prayer life that we had, we no longer have, and that connection that we had with Jesus, we no longer have. That we used to go to church, and we stopped coming to church because all of a sudden now we have shame and we have guilt. The Christian people that we were hanging around, we stopped hanging around. We stopped doing things with. Because why? We have shame and guilt. And we feel guilty about things. We're not doing these sort of things. We stop praying and we stop reading our Bible. And we stop doing these things, and now all of a sudden we're pulling back from these things that were providing a healthy Christian life for us, and we're pulling back from it. And all of a sudden now we've pulled back and from having a Christian, these healthy Christian things that were promoting a healthy Christian life, and all of a sudden we are retreating into an unhealthy Christian lifestyle. And as we do that, we start taking on these old habits and these old things that we had replaced with healthy habits, and replaced with godly things and the things of God. And all of a sudden we start replacing them, and over time we're replacing them, and all of a sudden we're back right where we were before, very quickly. And all of a sudden, we're in that same bondage that we were before. And a lot of times, we don't know how to get back out of it. And Paul is saying, don't do that. Then, but Paul says, he says, you're free. Don't go back and do that. You're free now, so don't go back there. Because he says, hey, because we're wading through the Spirit. So Paul really starts introducing this idea of the Spirit, okay? We're not at this alone. We've been filled with the Spirit of God. Okay. And this is one of the things that John says is, hey, he's telling his disciples, hey, I'm leaving you, but I'm not leaving you alone. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came, and he comes and lives inside of every believer. And when the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in each believer, then the Spirit dwells with each believer. So the Spirit of God dwells inside of each of us. And through the Spirit of God, by faith, we await the hope of righteousness. Eventually, Jesus is going to come back, okay? And so each and every believer, we look forward to the return of Jesus, okay? And when Jesus returns, the world is going to radically change. So we look at the world, okay? And the world looks just crazy to us. The world should look crazy to us as Christians. We should look at the world and say, the world just doesn't look right. The world just, we look at the world and we look at things, and it shouldn't look right to us. It should look off. And because the world is off, we look at people having interaction with the police, and where police shoot people when they shouldn't be shot, and you're looking at these different interactions. And I know people were like, oh, well, it's because they misbehaved or they had this misunderstanding. No, you can't say every misunderstanding that someone has with the police was because of their fault. No, that's just, you can't say that, okay? There's an aspect of sin that is causing some of this stuff, and you can't just say, hey, this is just, it's because that someone misbehaved. No, it's, there's something not right in our world, and that we know as Christians that it's only when Jesus come back, and when there's a new world order, and that God has established things, that things will be right. And so we look forward to that time. It is our hope that we look forward to as Christians, when that world order is changed. Okay, we know that this world is just is not right. Okay, we know that the world order isn't right. I mean, we can look at it. We can look at the world and say, hey, things are not the way we're supposed to, okay? You can go out and just, if you can walk down the street and you can, if you just the fact that another person can hate another person based on their skin color, if they don't like them because they come from a different country, that tells us right there that something isn't right. God doesn't call us to hate another human being because they're made in the image and the likeness of God. They're an image bearer of God. So we know that this world, that there's something amiss in this world. So we as Christians, we are waiting for the coming righteousness of God. But in that, while we're waiting, we are free in Christ. So we are not to return to that slavery. But we wait as free people in Christ. But we are not to abuse that freedom. Brings us to our second point. Our freedom is demonstrated by faith and love. Verse 6 and then in 13. Verse 6 says, "For in Christ neither circumcision or uncircumcision means anything." Now that had to be radical to Jews in that time, because they were so in the Jewish mind, circumcision was everything. Circumcision was the defining fact of being Jewish. And now Paul is telling them that in Christ, okay, for in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision or uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love is what matters. This is a radical idea, okay? And he then go down to verse 13, he says, "You were called to be free." Go on, but through love, serve one another. So love here, he says, it's faith through love. And so the defining characteristics of your freedom is demonstrated by faith through love. Now, faith is an action word, okay? It is not just merely an intellectual assent. It's just you just agree. It's not just, yes, I agree to these, I agree to the apostles, creed, or I agree to my church's doctrinal statement. I just agree to it. No, it is something that you wholeheartedly, it's a verb. It's that you put it into action, okay? If I said, "Hey, I believe that the house is on fire," I'm gonna get out of the house, right? Okay, because I really believe in it, okay? So I'm gonna get out of the house. Now, you probably don't really, now, if the house is on fire and you don't get out of it, I don't know, do you really believe that the house is on fire? Probably not, or there's something wrong with you. Okay, so faith is an action word. That means that there should be some action going on to it. But also, we have love. Okay, so we have faith, and faith is best demonstrated through action. And so, a lot of times, we as Christians, we talk about faith, but we don't actually have any action behind it. We're willing just to say, "I believe in this," but we don't necessarily have faith behind it. But a lot of times that we talk about love, I had saw some, I won't say names, but I saw recently someone had perpetrated, a very well-known individual had perpetrated a particularly heinous sin against the individual. And the wife said, "I just want you to know that we love you." Well, that seems particularly like a smack in the face, but considering what your husband did to this individual, you may love this person, but it's again a bit of a smack in the face. There's a lot of times we talk about love, but again, love is best going to be demonstrated through action. And so our freedom in Christ is going to be demonstrated through action. But it's interesting here. Look at verse 7. It says, "You are running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth?" Now, I find it interesting here that Paul connects faith and truth, or faith and love, to truth. Because a lot of times we see here in modern times that we like to connect, we like to disconnect truth from love. We talk about a lot of times, We have Christians who will uphold truth, okay? And they will uphold truth very coldly. And they'll talk, truth, truth, truth. The Bible's truth, this, but they don't have a whole lot of love. Then there's another group, they have a lot of love, 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 but then they don't uphold truth. No, I think we need to have truth. We need to have love, and we need to do it both at the same time, because if you just have truth and you have no love, then it's truth without love is a bit cold. Okay. Truth without love is cold. It's like a parent who always disciplines, but there is no love. That's very cold. Doesn't do a lot for the child. But then if on the other side, if you have a parent who's just love, 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 but then there's no discipline for that child, you have a child who's love, but you typically have what? You typically have a child who eventually becomes a bit wild. So there needs to be a balance here. And I think this is what Paul's saying, is he has this thing of, he says he's talking about truth. And he's saying that truth is important. Freedom does not abolish truth, but holds to truth, okay? Freedom does not abolish truth, but holds to truth. But it does so in love. Freedom does not abolish it, but it holds to truth. You know, there's times when we engage people as Christians and we disagree with their lifestyle. And it's okay to disagree with people's lifestyle. It's okay to disagree with their decisions. But you can't be nasty about it. You can't be disrespectful. But you got to do so loving, okay? You have to be loving about it. But on the flip side, you just can't be so loving that you just negate the truth. You can't just love someone and just completely ignore truth. There has to be a balance of love and truth. I love you, but this is truth. You know, here's the thing. I love you, but God has something more beautiful than what you're doing right now. There's a more beautiful truth. Here's the thing. Paul has a wonderful example here in verse 9. He's telling him a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And the idea here is that in the Old Testament, at the Passover, when they would take the Passover, they used unleavened bread. And the idea was that they were in a hurry. They didn't have time to use leavened bread, okay? And a lot of times we think that they would use yeast. They didn't necessarily they wouldn't use modern yeast the way they didn't have modern yeast the way, but they would use a leaven type thing, okay? Kind of like a sourdough kind of a product. And it would cause the bread to rise. They didn't use that. And but Paul's point is a little bit of leaven leavens the whole lump. And what he's saying is, if you take a little bit of something that's not true and you allow it into your midst, it taints everything in your midst. Galatians, don't allow falsehood. Don't allow things that aren't true to come into your midst, because it will spoil everything. If I made lemonade and I threw a spoiled strawberry in there, would y'all drink it? No, because it's all spoiled now, right? It's the same sort of concept that Paul is saying, is that if you take just a little bit of the leaven and you put it in there, now it's all become And that is his point, is if just a little bit of sin, just a little bit of something that's not true comes in, it will spoil everything. And he's saying, so do not let your freedom become destroyed by taking something on that's not true, because your freedom will now become slavery by letting in something that's not true. So beware of those people and those things that will things that lead, who are wise, that who appear to be wise, that will lead you astray. Okay, beware of those people and things who appear to be wise, to lead that will lead you astray. Okay, there's things that are going to come into your life, and people who will come into your life, who will lead, that will attempt to lead you astray. So beware of those things. They will look appealing at times. They will look good. They will seem wise. They will seem good. But if they're not true, if they are not right, they are not biblical, if they are not godly, to have no part of them. Because remember, just a little bit of leaven will destroy everything. And all of a sudden, that freedom that you have, you'll be back. All of a sudden, you'll be back in slavery. You'll be back in that old place, and you won't know what to do, and you'll just be stuck, and you'll be severed from Christ. Brings us to our third point this morning. Our freedom is demonstrated by Christian service. So really, this is verse 13. It says, "For you are called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Our freedom is demonstrated by Christian service. So our freedom isn't just for our own self, okay? You're not just free just to be free, okay? Our freedom is not a freedom to sin, okay? He says, not only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. Okay. A lot of times we think our freedom is to do whatever we want. Hey, we can go, we can do whatever we want. He talks about this in Romans. Our freedom is not just to do what we want. You know, a lot of times we think our freedom, we can go do whatever we want. We can just enjoy life. We can eat, drink, and be merry. Do whatever we want. Freedom to sin is not, that's not really freedom. Okay. That's actually slavery. And if you think you have freedom to sin and go do whatever you want, and that's slavery, where does that lead? That's going to lead to bondage. That's going to lead to heartache. That's going to lead to pain. That's going to lead. I just talked to someone this last week, and they were telling me that they left their wife. They were a pastor. They left their wife. They left the church. And he said, I was living my best life. And they were sleeping here. They were sleeping there. They were sleeping here, there, everyone, or with everyone. Okay. Ended up contracting an STD. Well, actually, several STDs, and had several kids and this and that. And 4 years out, had all kinds of kids, all kinds of child support, all kinds of trouble, and realized that very quickly that the living their best life was not living their best life, because like 40% or whatever they made was going into child support, and then they were going to the doctor, and they ended up contracting HIV and this and that, and life wasn't looking that good anymore. And he says, oh, I look back at my life, and what I thought was my boring pastor life actually looked really good, because I had this and I had that. And now, you know, my ex-wife and my kids don't want nothing to do with me, because they look at me as I'm a terrible person. And, you know, he says, I'm a terrible person, and they don't want nothing to do with me. And he says, to be honest, I don't even know how I got here. I know how you got there. And he says, I just don't know how quickly I got here. Because he thought his freedom, It wasn't freedom, he was in slavery, and he got there very quickly. So here's the thing. Our freedom is not to sin, but it's an opportunity to serve one another through love. Ours is to serve God, but it's not just to serve God, but it's to serve other people, okay? It's to serve one another, serve. And how do we serve one another, okay? I mean, it could be very simple, okay? It could be just like our video this morning, where pretty dramatic to go to another country and for 2 weeks and to help someone build a church, right? That's one aspect of serving one another. It could be something as simple as writing a check for to help them to go on that. It might be volunteering in the local church, greeting or something. It might be helping someone. It might be partnering, it might be going to someone's house and helping them do X, Y, and Z in their house. Serving it's a very broad thing, but it's just, partnering with someone, helping them. Someone was telling me that they knew someone. They were going through a hard time in life. I think the spouse got sick, and so they had kids, and so they were going over there and they were helping them cook and clean. And that was like their act of Christian service to this family. And they were going over a couple times and helping them cook and clean and with the kids. And that's just what they were doing to this family, just to be a blessing to them. And that was their act of service. And they didn't expect nothing in return. They weren't asking for money. They weren't asking for gift cards. They weren't asking to get any of that food. They just wanted to be a blessing. And they just felt like that was just one of the things they were called to do, was just to be a blessing to that family. That was, they felt like they had that freedom in Christ, and they were called to serve one another and demonstrate that love and that freedom in Christian service to be a blessing to one another. It says, and they're talking about here, verse 14, the whole law is fulfilled in one statement: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. It's interesting. These people are trying to get the Galatians to fulfill the law. Hey, go back and fulfill the law. And Paul's saying, hey, you want to fulfill the law, love your neighbor as yourself, so go serve one another. That this is really a fulfillment of the law, right? And so he's telling them that. So it's interesting that he goes on and tells them this. But he says, but if you do bite and devour, take care that you are not consumed by one another. I really that's he's setting them up for what's about to come in verses 16 through 21. He's really setting them up for what I call the fruits of the flesh, which you don't want to participate in. We'll talk about that next week. But really, as what Paul is saying is walk by the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit. In order to do this, you have to walk by the Spirit and be filled by the Spirit, that you can be in Christian spirit and walk in freedom to serve one another. Why? Because you're free for a purpose, to love people, to demonstrate your Christian faith and love by serving one another. So the big idea this morning is be filled with the Holy Spirit and walk in freedom. Be filled with the Holy Spirit and walk in freedom. So, are you filled with the Spirit? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? If you're Christian, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay. The question is, as a Christian, are you filled with the Holy Spirit, but are you operating at that full potential? That's, I think, more the, I think that's the real question is, are you operating at the full potential with the Spirit? That's something you'll have to ask the Holy Spirit. Are you walking in freedom? Are you walking in freedom? In your freedom, are you serving others? And what is hindering your freedom in Christ? What is hindering your freedom in Christ? No, it's spelled wrong there. What is hindering your freedom in Christ? Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I thank you and I praise you. Lord, I know we're free for a purpose. Lord, I pray that you just be a blessing to us. Lord, and I pray that you touch each and every one of us. Lord, you speak to us where we are. Lord, and I ask that you show us. I ask that you show us where we're at with these questions. Are we walking in freedom? Are we serving? What's hindering us? And God, I ask that we make an honest assessment. And God, that we take the right steps. We lay it before you. And that God, that you just touch, that you just touch us, speak to us, and move in our hearts. Lord, just bless each and us. Bless each and every one of us. Lord, that we would just take the right steps this week, God, that we would begin to walk in freedom, that we would begin to serve others, that we would begin to move in freedom in Christ unhindered. We would be unshackled. We would be free. God, that we would begin to move in the Spirit, that we would begin to hold the truth, that we begin to, by faith and in love, walk in freedom, operate in truth, God, that we'd be free in Christ. God, bless us, each and every one of us now. In Jesus' name, amen.